You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. This is it. We did it. 2020 is finally behind us, and now we are firmly planted in 2021. Fingers crossed that this will be a better year than last year. But one thing that was amazing in 2020 was the vast amount of amazing music which was released, and we were blessed with a bunch of bangers. I, of course, just like last year, had to team up with my brother, Ali Pinal, the bassist of Cryptopsy, Cattle Decapitation, Acurion, and Vengeful, to hash out our top 10 records from 2020. It was just as the top 10 Quebec breweries was a daunting task, so was this one. So there are a bunch of honorable mentions included in this episode as well. But before we get to me and Ollie's top 10 list, I would like to shine some light and pick the brain of the Vox and Hops metal architect, the great Jerry Monk himself. For the past month, Jerry has been curating the Brutal Awakenings playlist. He's been doing this for the past month, and it's going to be a monthly thing. So we just wrapped up the December Brutal Awakenings playlist, and now starting in January, he's going to be picking the top, the coolest, the most brutal and extreme new music, which drops every Friday, and he's going to put that into the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which I will share. So it was very, very important to me to find out what Jerry's top 10 albums were. So I sat down with him for a mini chat just to see what he thought was the best in 2020. Here is that chat right now. Hey, what's up? I'm here with Jerry Monk, the metal architect for Vox and Hops, and I would like to hear from you what your top 10 albums of 2020 have been, since you're so important to curating my personal list. So I'm interested in seeing what the master has for his own.
Yeah, man, this year was, I think, better than last year. I think with the pandemic going on, more people putting stuff out, maybe not even planning to put stuff out. I mean, I saw some bands put out two or three albums. So, I mean, it's been loaded. But without further ado, we'll start with number 10. Number 10 for me was Aether Coven. Everything is temporary except for suffering. A little sludge band out of Florida. Just lots of emotion, lots of atmosphere. Absolutely crushing stuff.
Awesome. That came out on January 17th via Church of Inverted Hope.
Yes. And number 9, we have Earthrot, Black Tides of Obscurity, a little black and death metal band from Australia. That was one that early on grabbed my attention. Every time I went back to it, was just crushing. The riffs are heavy. It's got that buzzsaw, old school death metal sound that I absolutely love. So definitely stuck there all year.
Which is amazing. A lot of the stuff on your list is actually from early on in the year, which I wanted to mention. This one dropped March 6th via Season of Mist. The first Australian band.
Yes. There's first of many. Australia, man. Australia with a death metal. I mean, mainly known for core. But yeah, man, death metal and black metal down there is definitely growing. Number 8, ladies from Denmark, Convent, Puritan Masochism. Those riffs, just out of this world, man. Just heavy, pummeling, ass-kicking, whatever you want to call it. Just straight out of this world.
And I'm super happy they're on your list, because I totally forgot to give them a mention in my honorable mentions, because I love this record as well. So when I saw it on your list, I was like, woo, good.
Yeah.
Came out early in the year, January 24th, Napalm Records.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that stuck with me all year. Every time I went back to it, I think The Eye finished as my top track on Spotify for the year, which is kind of weird. But yeah, that one was up there at the top, I believe. And then number 7, got us another Aussie band. This one really threw a kink into my top 10 because it came out super late in the year. It was Growth, The Smothering Arms of Mercy. It's like this weird hybrid prog death metal band with a little bit of Ulcerate thrown in. Definitely crushing stuff. That's one that I listened to, man, probably 4 or 5 times the first couple of days it came out. It's about an hour long, too, so it'll take up some time. But yeah, it was an automatic buy as well on Bandcamp once it finally dropped. It wasn't available for purchase the first day, but yeah, grabbed it when it finally dropped.
Very cool. And that came out December 4th via Wild Thing Records. And yeah, a great record. I agree. You had sent it my way immediately, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's just absolutely crushing. I can't get enough of it. I actually listened to some of it today. trying to remember which was my favorite song off there. But yeah, I listened to a bit of it today. Then at number 6, we have another Australian band. This is a super group featuring Dave from Psycroptic. Is Werewolves, The Dead Are Screaming. That was one a friend of mine sent. He sent me the single, and he was like, I bought the vinyl just off this one single. So I definitely checked it out. Ordered a physical as well. They have another album coming out in early January again, and I believe they have a third written as well.
That's amazing.
I mean, these guys are just crushing it. I mean, they must not have much to do, because man, 3 records in a year span, absolutely mind blowing. But I believe, based off the 2 singles they've already dropped for this new one, it probably will be in my top 10. Next year as well.
Wow. Very, very cool. And Dave is a hardworking dude. And when he's not touring with Psycroptic, he's, you know, organizing tours and bringing people down to Australia. He's brought Cryptopsy down. Dave is an excellent human, excellent drummer, and his brother handled the production on a lot of this record. So that came out April 24th via Prosthetic Records.
Yeah, and the next one will be on Prosthetic as well. Number 5. Was a number late one as well. And a lot of people that are in the black metal scene are giving this some big hype, some big praise. That's Ackley's Melano.
Hell yeah.
Little band from Colorado. It's just, man, it's straight nightmare fuel. I got my physical in today. It came from France for some reason. But yeah, super excited to get that, listen to that in the car versus on the phone. But yeah, it is an absolutely haunting record. If you like things that will mess with your mind, definitely check these guys out. He's in a couple other black metal bands as well. I believe Nightbringer is one of them. But yeah, definitely check these guys out if you like the trippy stuff.
I do, and this was absolutely a great, great record. Great record. Weird-ass guitar riffage, but excellently mesmerizing at the same time. Definitely like this record.
And if you like ambient stuff, the earlier stuff is a little bit more ambient, a little bit more keyboard stuff versus riffing and drumming and whatnot. But yeah, all their stuff is flawless. Can't recommend them enough. So that goes to number 4, another black metal band from Portugal, Gorilla with Limbo.
Hell yeah.
That one was just up there early on. I'd heard their last album, Unsettling Whispers, I believe earlier this year, and was instantly hooked on that one. Saw they were putting out another one, started checking out the singles. It's a little bit longer. Some of the songs are 13, 14, 15 minutes long, so it will be a chore if you're not used to that kind of stuff. But definitely check them out if you haven't. Those guys definitely be blowing up. They're on Seasons of Mist.
That's great.
Definitely check them out.
That came out in the summer. Late July.
Yeah, correct.
Number three
is a band from Finland, Proscription Conduit. It's a blackened death metal. When you think blackened death metal from, you know, Sweden, Finland, you're thinking, and like Poland, Northern Europe, you're thinking Behemoth. These guys blow Behemoth out of the water. Their vocalist name is Christ Butcher. It's just riffs for days, crushing. More black metal than death, but definitely highly recommended. Instant buy on Bandcamp Friday when it came out. Can't say enough good things about this album.
Excellent. That came out September 24th via Dark Descent Records.
Yes.
2 left. Who are your top 2? The metal architect, Jerry Monk himself, is going to let us know.
These two can go back or forth, but definitely number 2 is Pisage d'Hiver, Imwald. the 2-hour masterpiece by Winthar from Dark Space. This guy has been doing this since the late 90s, I believe, doing demos and ambient stuff, and then finally put out a full length this year. And it is absolutely mesmerizing. You feel like you're trapped in a snowstorm the whole time. Just riffs and blast beats, screams and screeches, soundscapes. It is absolutely crushing.
Awesome. It's another early release. I love that so many early releases just stuck around the whole year on your list. This came out January 25th via Kunstall Productions.
And number one are the guys from New Zealand, Ulcerate, Stare Into Death and Be Still. Another early one. A buddy of mine got me on these guys last year, and it seems like their early stuff wasn't as great, but just grew and grew and grew into this monster. And the drum work is out of this world. Everything's in order. Nothing's out of place. It's just, it's a perfect album, in my opinion. 10 out of 10. Can't say enough about it. You know, if I was ever to do a top 10 of the decade, that one would probably be in there somewhere because I cannot get enough of it.
Amazing. The Metal Architect has spoken, people. Check this out. Get ready for more Metal Architect Brutal Awakenings playlists, which are coming up in the month of January. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jerry, taking some time to share your top 10 with all the Vox and Hops heads out there.
Cheers, guys.
Boom. Man, Jerry Monk knows what's going on. If there's any people in the record industry that are listening to this right now and are in need of a new A&R, Jerry Monk is your man. Trust me, he has his finger firmly planted on extreme metal's pulse. Now, it's time for me and Olivier Pinal's top 10 cumulative albums of 2020, plus a bunch of honorable mentions. Get ready, people. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 217.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Today, I am back with my bassist, Olivier Pinard, of Cattle Decapitation, Cryptopsy, Acurian, Vengeful, and we are here to do, yet again, our top 10 metal releases. And this year, of course, it's the wonderful year of 2020. It was a super, super shitty year, but we were blessed with very, very, very many excellent, excellent metal releases, and it was extremely difficult to get this down to 10, but we did. It was very, very, very hard, but we got there, and we obviously have a bunch of honorable mentions that we're going to go through afterwards because it was just too hard. It was crazy, crazy. Let's start with just a simple little, how are you doing? How are you coping? How are you feeling?
I'm good, I guess. I'm home since March. It's crazy. I feel like the whole year was like a dream, but no, it's all real. It's so bizarre. So like, I feel like the chalet we went in March, I feel like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. And exactly that I was about to mention, that we were in a cottage in the woods when COVID really, really was taken seriously and the lockdown started, and we were writing material for what is going to become the next Cryptopsy record, and we were just watching everything collapse, and we were so stressed out, so we were drinking craft beers and just writing madness music.
And the world was falling apart, yeah. And we were like alone in the woods, like, what is going on?
Just heading into the, waking up every morning a little bit, you know, hungover. Over heading into town, that 30-40 minute drive to restock.
We saw the lineup outside and wash your hands. I was like, what happened last night? What?
And all the toilet paper,
all the ramen, all the dry stuff. Also, funny fact, when me and Chris, we did another session, like another writing session in September. And the first day, it was the second, they announced the second lockdown. So we're like, we have to stop writing. Something's going. Two times.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. But today, we're doing a top 10 list. What beer are you drinking on your side there, Ollie?
Tonight's the night.
Hell yes.
Going with the Cryptopsy beer from Kanawaki Brewing. It's so good. It's,
hell yes.
It's so easy to pound this. I mean, I had 18 of them. Like, you know, so easy. So,
yeah, I love it.
Tastes great. It's refreshing. And it's also like a... It's a light beer, so... It's all right. It's okay. I can drink a lot of
it. It's safe. It's safe for tonight. It is amazing. And shout out to Drew from Kanawagi Brewing Company for brewing such an amazing brew. It is a New World Pilsner called Cryptopsy. Pilsner Supremacy. It is a New World Pilsner, which has been dry hopped with Mosaic hops, which is super, super avant-garde. And I love that. I love that. And I love that he was just so willing to do it. On my side, I'm drinking a young brewery, but is a brewery that made it into my top 10 breweries of Quebec from this year. This is Cinquième Baron. Very, very cool brewery. They opened like right in the middle of the pandemic, and they've been killing it. Every style, no matter what they put out, it's just amazing. This
Where is
a Schwartz beer. It is in Gatineau. There's something going on in Gatineau. There's so many great breweries, obviously, Buck Canada's out there. But this one is one to watch, and it's super metal as fuck. I love it. Called Black, the Schwartz beer, so it's going to be nice and smoky. I'm going to crack this, pour this out. You start this off. We each picked five bands. It was very, very hard to make our cumulative top 10 list, just as we did last year. So you go first. Any of your releases, shout it out there. I'm going to crack this.
Okay, number five, I'll go with, I have the list right here. I have to give this to the band Blight and the album Temple of Wounds. Blight from Montreal.
Fuck yeah.
Featuring Gab from Iron Dissonance, ex-Iron Dissonance. Dude, I was waiting for this album for so long. But you know it, you know the album. Dom Grimard, he worked on the album.
Yes.
So we know for a year that it's coming. So I was very stoked. Remember, I think it was last year we heard like some vocal session they did with the chant, Gregorian chant. And I was so like, it's gonna be great. Gab is singing Gregorian chants. Wow. And the album is amazing.
That's amazing.
The vibe is cool. It's black and roll ish. I really enjoyed it. Especially, I discovered this album this summer when I was at my father's, like, chalet, or I don't know how you say that. And I was in the middle of the wood by myself with the headphone listening to Blight. It was a perfect, perfect first listen. It was awesome.
Absolutely, and I love that record as well. It dropped on June 5th via Zwart Records. Temple of Wounds by Blight. I had luckily had a chat with Gab. On the podcast, we talked all about this record. You guys can go back and check that out if you're interested. And you're absolutely right that our boy, the man that replaces you when you can't come on tour, great Dom Grimard, was the producer of this. And I think it's the first record that he produced that is out there. That is, I may be wrong, but I feel like it's the first one that got signed. And
but I know for a fact he worked a lot on this album. I think he produced the vocal, like all the strings. So, he's a big part of the process for sure. Great album. Sounds great. I love the visual. Like, everything Gab does is crazy. The visual, lyrics, top notch.
And it's cool, the approach to clean vocals addition, but it's completely...
It's not clean. It's haunting. It's, definitely haunting. So, I love it.
For myself, I got it's a strange year. I'm looking at my list right now and I'm seeing a big mix of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that leads to like trance moments where the tracks are long, the riffs are repetitive. It takes you on a journey. It's something that I've really been getting into over the years. So I'll just pick one just like that. I got Molasses. I love this record. It's called Through the Hollow. It was released on October 16th via Season of Mist. I luckily had a chat with Farida, their vocalist. Excellent record. Super, super just atmospheric, repetitive riffs. Takes you completely on a mind trip. It's all about how she's grieving her brother, who she was in a band with. The Devil's Blood is a sick, sick band.
Selene, he did commit suicide a few years back after.
In 2013, I want to say.
Yeah, they played Montreal the year prior to that. I saw them, man. With Behemoth. And I never heard of them before. I went came to the show and I saw this rock and roll band playing, and this guy was like all covered in blood. I was like,
oh, absolutely.
Fuck. He was the only one on stage. The other guys in the band, they were clean. He was like a kind of West Borland kind of thing, you know, the only one dressed up. But then he played with Watain the same night. So I was like, oh, okay, he's one of them.
No, but it was something. It was something that he would do. They were very into Satanism.
I know. I saw a doc. There's a mini documentary about him on YouTube. Check it out.
Okay, cool. Cool. So Molasses is basically like a group that just happened because they got invited to play a show at Roadburn. There's like a big connection between Roadburn and their band. They're from the Netherlands. And they were invited to play a show. They wrote some material for it. A lot of it was very haunting, talking about how she's, you know, this is how she's cathartically dealt with her brother's taking his life. And they loved it so much, the experience, that they decided to pursue it and make a full, become a band, a real band, and they just released this record, and I love it. So, on your side.
Intranet.
Fluid Existential Inversions.
Yeah, what's that song? Pangloss?
Pangloss, yes.
The heavy track at the end.
That's my track, too. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I think it was the second single they put out, and I was hooked. But, you know, I'm already like, I was already Intranet fans, so when I heard the first two singles, the first one came in like December of last year, and already I was like, wow, he used distortion on a fretless bass, that's awesome. I was already freaking out. Then they released Pangloss. I think you mentioned something, like you saw them with Cult of Luna, am I right?
I saw them with Cult of Luna and Emma Ruth Rundle, and he was not there, the bassist. His name is? Remind me of his name.
Joe Lester.
Joe, yeah, he broke his ankle. I think it was like the second day of the tour or something. It was something ridiculous like that. It was like super early, and they had to play without him. They had some tracks playing, of course, but he's such a big part of the band. Such a great, great musician.
And the time before that, I think in Montreal, I can't remember what tour was. They play without a drummer. So it's really? Been years since Intranet played with the full lineup in Montreal. Yeah, I remember because Danny left the band, like, they were about to go on tour and he left, or I don't know what happened, and they decided to carry on and they play the tour with the drum tracks.
Wow.
Wow. Intranet without drummer. That's crazy, huh?
And they had Alex Rudinger, I think, play drums on this specific album.
He did, on the album. Just and killer. Have you seen the drum playthrough?
I have, yeah.
This drummer is so sick.
Absolutely.
He's one of my favorite.
I love this record. Just one of those. Again, it takes you on a trip. There's all these different moods to it. Mm-hmm. It's heavy as fuck, especially on that Pangloss track. If not, it's got the nice melodic areas. I feel like their vocals have gotten better.
Better. Totally.
Way better, and, honestly, because it was something that always sort of rubbed me the wrong way on previous records. But this one, I was more digestible.
I feel
myself.
Like the last two are very, like, they found their, like, niche. Like, intro, they have their sound now, and I love it. Like you said, the vocal is way better now, and the production, the songwriting is solid. I love it a lot.
Plus, they got to play the Decibel Metal and Beer Fest, and our brother Ash Pearson went and flew and played drums for them at that show, which is just so cool.
Yeah, I mean, oh, dude, yeah, I remember I was with the Ash in Japan last February. We toured Cattle and Revo, and I was with Ash in the metro in the subway, and he told me that I was listening to the album, and he just told me, oh, yeah. I played those songs like with them like, a couple of weeks ago. I was like, you play with Intranet? Holy shit, man. Good for you. He's a cool guy.
Yeah,
he's a cool guy. Yeah. Shout out to Hash.
Another two-time Vox and Hops alumni. I'm sure it'll be three for him, too. He's in too many projects.
Yeah.
Okay, up next on my side, probably it was hard. It was really, really, really hard to get it down. I'm going to go for something that's probably the most extreme that I have on mine, something that's disturbing, but yet super trance. Again, something that, you know, I don't partake in hard drugs, but if I did, I would listen to this. It came out on April 17th. Oranzi Pazuzu, Mesterin. What a sick album.
Have you seen the live stream they put on?
I did, and it was it's super amazing. Just an experience, which is what a live stream has to be now. You can't just stand in a room and play. It has to be something more.
Yeah. Actually, Mike DiSalvo introduced me to this band with the album before that one, with the blue artwork. I can't remember the title. So I was waiting for the new one, and it was, you know, that one of those nights, you know, with a little bit of weed and then lay down with headphones. You listen to the whole thing and it's just magic. I love it.
Yeah, it was called, the album is called Mesterin Kinsey. I said that wrong before. It came out via Nuclear Blast. So trance-inducing, just these repetitive, very odd riffs that just take you somewhere else.
All the vocals and everything.
Very strange.
I love it.
It's something this is like a band that I would like to. I like going. We just spoke about Cult of Luna, Intronaut, Emma Ruth Rundle as a tour package. I would love to see extreme metal start doing stuff like that and creating eclectic packages. And I would love to put Cryptopsy out on the road with Oranzi Pazuzu and just see the vibe.
To take people out of their comfort zone.
You know, and then there's that sound guy. We have all the time we go on tour with all these bands, and, you know, I love it. I love them all. I love you all if you are listening. But it tends to feel the same all the time. It's the same aggressive thing. And then you got the local sound guy that's blasting Cannibal Corpse between bands. So it's just never ending, just the same energy. And I would like to, you know, create more of an atmosphere, more of an eclectic experience when you go see a show.
I'm totally with you.
They're super extreme, but in a different way. And I think that we would fit well together.
It's a different kind of extreme. Yeah.
Excellent record. I strongly suggest people go check it out. Up next, what do you got there?
Okay. What was my next pick? I'll go with this one. Like, the same theme as you. Let's go with Ulcerate.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's very... Dude, I don't know if you're an Ulcerate fan, but this is, for me, one of my favorites from their catalog. It's so... Oh, man, it's beautiful and dark. You know, it's not just the two albums before. I feel like they were more, it was dark, really really dark, like dissonant dark. I feel on this one they brought back a little bit of light, you know. And no man, the songwriting is just perfect. The closer, man, I can't remember what's the title again. I have like, it's Dissolved Orders. One of the best death metal songs from 2020. Dissolved Orders. It's beautiful. Check it out.
Super sick. Super sick. I like the record. It was extremely intense. It was hard for me to get through it with one listen. I sort of had to break it up because it was just, you know, like sort of like, which is a band that I forgot to include on our honorable mention. I'm going to write it down right here. Like a Beneath the Massacre.
Totally forgot about Beneath.
You got to take it in little doses to really appreciate it. For myself, I love it, but in little doses. And this Ulcerate record was the same thing. You are right. There's a little bit of light that came back into it, which you know, it creates more of a balanced listening experience. It's not just all one, you know, feeling of it's always
it's
nice.
It's all
to
the same colors, great all the time. I feel like this one is more. They explore a little bit more. But dude, don't get me wrong, I love everything they put out, but at some point in the past years, I was like, it's always the same, it's Ulcerate. You know exactly what it's going to be, but with this one, I feel they bring something new on the table, and I really, really appreciate that. Especially in an era where there's a thousand of, there's, how many death metal bands there is out there? Like, a thousands. It's really hard to... like pop out and shine, you know. I feel like this one, Ulcerate, is now an established band. It's one of the important death metal bands at the moment,
and it's super cool, you know, because they're from New Zealand. So for them to make their mark, being so far away is always impressive as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, One of the best death metal show I have seen in my life was Ulcerate at Catacombs, like 8 years ago, and I was blown away by the energy. It was a real death metal show. It was scary, for real. You just look at the front man, and like, shit, they don't fuck around. Anyway, it was really, really sick.
I love it. Stare Into Death and Be Still by Ulcerate dropped on April 24th via Debbie Murr Morty Productions. I hope I'm saying that right. Love it, love it, love it. For myself, we're going to go a bit more. My next three are all a little bit more mainstream bands, and I just love them, and there's one in particular that I do not listen to singles. I don't like listening to singles because it ruins my experience with the album afterwards. But this one, I bit. They were doing these cool premieres at like a specific time on YouTube, I think it was, and I didn't really like the first track that they dropped. I just kept commenting on everyone that was posting it. Where's the chug? Where's the chug? Where's the tone? And then when they dropped the second one, Genesis, I was completely blown away.
Yeah,
love
yeah.
it. Production's amazing. Dropped on September 25th. Of course, I'm talking about Deftones. Ohms.
What was the first single? Homes?
Oh, the last track. Yeah, Ohms.
Which is
yeah.
Home. You didn't like Homes?
Nah. Even now, I find it's missing something for me. It's missing the chug.
Yeah, of course, but it's good. Driving music. Even if I don't drive, but if I was driving, say. That I would love to blast that song. No, you know, I think for me this album is it's like a grower. Like yeah. When it came out, I loved it. Like, because I loved the first single when it came out, I was like so excited. But I don't know, the day of the release, I listened to the album like just once, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. But then I started listening again, and I learned three songs on the bass just for fun from that album. So I think, no, it's a really catchy song. I like it better than the one before, like Gore. I like the new one better. Yep.
I have a strange relationship with Deftones. I really, really liked them when I was young. I was, around the Fur, Adrenaline, Addict, White Pony.
Yeah.
Loved it. I loved it until the point, and now I know the story of Back to School. I had the original where that track was not the opener, and they had to re-release the album because the label forced them to write a more single song. Because
it was the Limp Bizkit era. So they had to compete with new metal.
That sort of pushed me off.
They used the closer to do a different song.
Exactly. It wasn't. It missed the mark with me. And then I just sort of went somewhere else. And then I discovered that I, got back into it via Palms, because Chino went to go form a band with some dudes from ISIS, the band, and I love that band. And so then I was like, oh, okay, Chino, let's see what. And it was Gore, the record that dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And being in a band with Flo Munia, who loves Deftones so much, we listen to a lot of Deftones when we're on tour. So I didn't really need to listen because he would listen to it for me.
It's always playing somewhere. Yeah.
I remember on Summer Slaughter 2008, we hid Adrenaline because we just couldn't listen to it anymore. and so I got back into it. I had minimal expectations for the album. I'm often disappointed with
same here.
New metal bands past the 2010s, and not many of them can still write a hit
Speaking
record.
Speaking of that, dude, it's not in my list, but it's it should be on my list, but it wasn't on the original list I sent you, but Seven Dust.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Man, I loved it a lot. The new one, Blood from a Stone, it's a... How can I say that? It's a very dark year, a lot of, how can I say, a dark thought were in my mind the whole time. And the day of the release, it was October 23rd, something like that, they did a live stream. And I watched it and changed everything. It was like, because I was already a Seven Dust fan, but that show brought like all the positive side of life. I was like, okay. I can do it. So it's stupid, but I really love Seven Deaths now. I'm a big fan. I have been for the past 2 months digging in their discography. Now I know everything. And that album changed a lot for me. Now I'm, since, like I said, like the past 2 months, I feel way better. I feel like it's because of Seven Dust. It's crazy.
Awesome. I've been a fan for a long time. I feel like this record, the one you're just speaking, Blood from a Stone, was missing the chug, which Deftones had.
Yes and no. There is some chugs, but the production, man, it's so massive. Yeah. It's top-notch production. I love it. The vocals
he's always
amazing.
I was wary about this new Deftones, but I was instantly hooked. Every track there was something, and it was one of those things. And it came out on a very hard day. September 25th also had The Ocean record dropped on the same day, so my attention was divided. But the Deftones won for me that day. I listened to it, I think, 3-4 times in a row. Love Ohms. Of course, everyone's probably heard it, but listen to it again. You go next.
The Ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with The Ocean, man, because I was waiting for this album for about 2 years, not that bad, but still, I think they deliver. They had a concept. It's part two. It's the second part of their Fanny Rosoic.
That's
part
right.
Part two, Mesoic, Cenozoic.
You got it. Drop the Metal Blade Records on the 25th, just like Deftones.
I love the... It's different from the first part, though. It's more how can I describe it? It's not ambient, but there's a lot of...
It's proggier.
Proggy. It's not heavy. It's not heavy like the one before. But see, I love their universe. I love the Ocean, like, universe. They have their own thing. And I love pretty much everything they put out. And there's... The last one is no exception. I love it a lot. I've been blasting the album earlier today while I was cooking. So
it is an album like that you can do something and it takes you
very enjoyable,
the moods and carries you.
Yeah,
they brought back the vocalist of Catatonia to do a track, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, second time they had Jonas on the first and then on the second part and the opening track of the second. It's kind of cool. Mm. Yeah.
For myself, I absolutely loved Phanerozoic part one much more than part two.
I prefer part one as well, but I feel like part two should be here because I think I listened to this album like 50 times this year. It's obvious. It needs to be in my list. It's an important release for me.
I love it. Up next, March 27th release, Igor. Ooh. Spirituality and Distortion came out via Metal Blaze Records. I have been a fan of Igor since, I think, your vocalist Travis was posting a lot about them before the previous record came out. And he was on that, and I just sort of got hooked. I really, really, really enjoy this one. I feel like it's matured a bit. It's sort of calmed down a bit.
I like it better than the first.
Me too. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people want that craziness. I feel like there's more songs and less Mr. Bungle-esque changes and weirdness just for the sake of being weird. I feel like it's much, much, much catchier. The riffs are epic. Headbangers.
The song with George.
It's amazing.
I can't remember the name, but that song
it's amazing.
Just kills.
It's amazing. And anything with George is always
great.
One of the greats right there.
All right,
what are you doing
there?
What are you cracking there? What are you doing? Oh, yes. Vox and Over Hops,
it's a special occasion tonight, so.
I appreciate that very much. I sadly have none left. I sadly
dude, I've been saving this one for weeks.
Yes, and of course I'm actually wearing the collab shirt right now and the Overhop Canada
nice
hat. I love that brew. It's a double dry hop New England IPA, Vic Secret, Enigma, and Citra hops, 7% ABV. Absolutely delicious. I love it, and I'm very excited to see it come back. I'm hoping. Balls in your court, Overhop.
I'll keep this can for sure.
It's super dope, and it happens so organically. Back to the Igor album. There's this one song in particular called "The Polyphonic Rust," where it's just so orchestrated, right? So it's like the vocals are just incredible.
How many vocals is there? Is there three vocalists?
I believe there's.
There's the guy two. Who can scream.
And then there's Laure, the clean operatic voice.
Okay. Is it Igor killer. With three R?
Three R's, of course. You can't have an Igor with two R's, but I love it. It's every track's a little bit different. There's the weird polka beats, which brings me back to my love of Mr. Bungle, which I love so much.
Musette Maxime, that's my track on this album. It sounds a bit like a French.
Yes.
The bass player on this is Erwin Caspersen. He played with Deeds of Flesh, he played with Decrepit Bird, Spawn Obsession. He's a killer. And also, the guy from Soulfly, he played the bass on this album.
Really?
Yeah, man.
It's a super group, but I don't even know it.
Mike Leon, yeah. We did a Twitch together, a live Twitch this year, and he told me, yeah, I played bass on a couple of tracks on the new Igor.
Really?
How cool is that, man?
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind, and right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name is Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Okay, up next.
So this is my last one.
Do it. I know what it is.
All right. It might be a bit controversial, but let's go.
I'll agree with it though.
Code Orange. Underneath.
Hell yeah.
Band of the year. Code Orange. Not only band of the year, but I think it's gonna be the next big thing. Code Orange. They had a huge, a massive year, even though they didn't tour. It's huge, man. I feel like they are the leader of a new metal movement.
It's very interesting, the mixture of the metal and the electronic.
I call it very, very tasty. New metal. It's a new metal. So I'm not sure how people will, like in what category people will put them, but because they had the deathcore, not deathcore, like hardcore influence. They have obviously new metal influence, grunge influence, and emo influence. They sound like, they remind me of some, they have a couple of songs on the new album, and they remind me of, I don't know, Thrice or My Chemical Romance, which I don't know why. I shouldn't love it, but the match is perfect.
When it's heavy, it's fucking heavy.
The heaviness with the catchy chorus and the riff are so bizarre. Like, I don't get it. I watch on YouTube, there's a playthrough, or not a playthrough, like a lesson by the guitar player. I can't remember her name. Dude, I don't get it. Like, she played a riff. I don't understand what's going on. Like, wow.
That's amazing. Cool, creative, and you know, they're signed to Roadrunner, you know, to have an album come out on Roadrunner.
And have you heard the live acoustic album they put out this summer?
That I have not heard, no.
That's good, man. It's like almost like a unplug, MTV unplug kind of thing. That if they play most of the new album acoustic, they cover Alice in Chains, Down in Hell. is really great. And I feel like I said, this, they are the next big thing. 2020 was their year. Code Orange is the new leader of a certain movement. I don't know what it is, but I guess we'll find out after this whole pandemic. When shows are gonna come back, I feel like people's gonna need shows. They're gonna need to go out and just all the negative energy out, and I feel like bands like Code Orange is gonna be a massive leader in a way.
The vocals are the vocals have gotten better. Mm-hmm. In this band as well, because that was always something that turned me off before. I feel like the cleans were never very excellent, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
On this one, I feel like they hit their mark. And I agree with you. This whole resurgence of nu metal is something that is going to be happening. It's big. It's already happening. You got Tetrarch already.
Dude, I did vocal on their album. Me, Travis, Josh, Russ, or TM, and
amazing because they recorded with Dave Otero too.
We had a day off in Denver, and we were supposed to go out for dinner with Dave Otero, and he was still working with Tetrarch, and he came to see us, and he's like, "Guy, would you mind come in the studio to do some gang vocals? Like, we don't know them. Like, what's the deal? You just need to shout this word, like, let's go."
Very cool.
We went, and I don't know if they kept the gang vocal for the album, but... And you know what? I never heard of them before. And this year, they were all over the place on my Facebook feed. I'm like, okay, crazy. I've never heard of them.
With one single, they're killing it.
Anyway, they have, I know what you're talking about. They put out a single, and it was huge. Like, millions of streams.
It's still killing it. I had Diamond on the podcast.
You remember the Korn with Linkin Park?
Yeah. Yeah. I like them. I'm stoked for the album. They signed to Napalm Records, which is very cool. And I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm going to wrap up with, it's probably my record of the year just because I listened to it so much. It is a very, very interesting record. It's interesting to have Deftones on this list alongside this because they have been coined as the new modern Deftones. That was what everyone was describing them as this you know, the promo for the record was going out earlier this year. This is a February 7th release, and I've listened to it so many times basically because it came out that long ago. This is, of course, Loathe. I Let It In and It Took Everything came out via Sharp Tone. Just a killer record. It you know, it somehow is three bands on one album, you know, because one song, it could be super heavy, having somewhat genty, spastic guitar riffage going on with just shrieking, but not annoying, higher register vocals, a bit hardcore-ish. And then the next track is basically, could be a Deftones song, a smooth, melodic, soaring hooks without them being too cheesy, just like sexy songs. Sexy Deftones songs, which is exactly what Deftones has. They have this weird sex appeal to them. You know what I mean? So
have you seen it? It's Korn for horny people.
So I think this would have been their year. I think that they would have made a huge impact this year if they could have toured this record. If they could have, I can imagine them opening for Deftones or opening for other nu metal bands. They could also open, you know, if Dillinger was still around, could also stand next to them because they have those spastic heavy tracks. It's a great, great record, and it is a record that takes you on a trip because you don't know what you're going to get, but somehow it all fits together, which is beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent record. So that wraps up our top 10. Now let's dance through and quickly name out. Let's do two at a time. You name out two of your honorable mentions, why you enjoyed it, and then I'll do the same.
I'm going to need to mention three at a time, and you'll understand why.
Go for it.
It's, check it out. It's all, not all, but three major bands from the Unique Leader beginning of 2000s era. You know, they came back this year to put out a new album, and The three of them are amazing. And I'm talking about Odious Mortem with the new album Synesthesia, Disavowed, they put out Revocation of the Fallen, and the last but not least, Deeds of Flesh, man, with Nucleus. It's my top three death metal pick this year will be this. Because I was waiting for Odious Mortem since, what, 2006? It's been that long.
Hell yeah.
Disavowed, 2007.
That cover art is beautiful.
So it's been years, man, since they put out new shit. And Deeds of Flesh, obviously, is the conclusion of the trilogy of the... Because it's all... a concept. The last three albums is a concept, and that's the conclusion, and I'm glad they did it, because I don't know, but people should know that Eric Lindmark from Unique Leader and Deeds of Flesh passed away, so the band Carry On, and they just finish is art, so I'm glad they did, because it's a monstrous album. I love it so much. They have
all the
so many
vocals.
Cool guests. Yeah, and why are you not on this, man? You should have been on this.
I don't know the right people.
Dude, it was so fun. The first listen, I was like, oh shit, that's this guy. Oh, George. Oh shit, John Gallagher, Frank Mullen. It was all over the place. All these guys were on the same album. It's the ultimate death metal tribute. So, yeah. I love it a lot. Nucleus by Deeds of Flesh.
Awesome. I just cracked this. For those of you listening, I also did a top 10 Quebec microbrewery episode with Craig Thorne of the BAOS podcast and Noah Forrest of beerism.ca. It's our cumulative top 10, and I completely forgot to include Le Fermateur in my honorable mentions, and I finished recording and I felt so bad that I didn't mention them. So I just wanted to say that Le Fermateur, absolutely a great Quebec microbrewery that you guys should check out. Super metal as fuck, and they make really, really, really cool beers with an excellent, you know, it's a Scotch ale. They call it Bond Scotch. Come on, it's amazing.
I had the Anonymous beer the other day.
Me too, yeah. Delicious. I'm going to do three as well. These are less than metal albums, but you know me, I listen to everything. So great Chinese post-rock band Wang Wen dropped their album 100,000 Wise on October 26th via Pelagic Records. I didn't know this was coming out, and oh shit, I love Wang Wen, so I stumbled upon it like the day that it dropped. Loved it. Just excellent, complicated post-rock music. Very, very great musicians in this band. I love it. If you like stuff like Mogwai, but that takes you a bit more on a voyage, it's for you. We mentioned her previous band, Igor Lao Leprinik, released a solo project called Reason. I hope I'm saying that right, and I'm not going to get the album name any better. Narrated. Complicated stuff, but the music is very interesting. I'm a huge fan of Jaren, who's a local Quebec artist. She plays cello and she sings. It's very operatic, very theatrical, very soundtrack-esque, and this sort of leans towards a very heavy Jaren at moments. I really, really enjoyed this. This came out on October 23rd via Blood Music, and another great chill album that I listened to 1,000 times going to sleep this year was Steve Von Till, of course, of Neurosis. No Wilderness Deep Enough came out via Neurot Recordings on August 7th. What a great zen, depressing, yet there's this little tinge of hope. I don't know.
I was about to say hope.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful record. Okay, you go.
Okay, next. Azarath. Azarath from Poland with drummer Inferno from Behemoth. They put out a new album this year, and it was... I can say I'm a big fan of the band because I don't know a lot of... not all of their material, but if you want some Polish death metal, like Punishment, check it out. It's relentless. Like, if you like death metal, like 8 Eternal and that kind of stuff, you will be pleased with Azarath. Azarath and also Temple of Perdition. My buddy Jean-Marie from Vengeful showed me that. It took me quite a moment, quite a moment to get into it, because at first I was like, yeah, it's just some blast beat like any other death metal bands. But the more you listen to it, and I don't listen to a lot of death metals anymore. I choose the band, you know. I don't listen to death metals all day long, so now if I want my dose of blast beats, Azera or Perdition Temple with Sacraments of Dissension.
It's cool.
Very punishing death metal. Yeah, it's very hard to pick death metal in so many bands.
Yeah, we got some brothers that dropped some records this year, and they're all killer. So I'm going to go through those right now. Of course, the Chernobyl Machines, Cytotoxin dropped Nuclear Earth via Unique Leader Records on August 21st, and it's a great, great record. Relentless, just punishing, yeah, but yet a little bit more mature. And I feel like the songwriting has taken a step in the right direction. I think it's probably from touring and knowing what works and being around other people, just and honing in on their craft. Just excellent, great record. Also, of course, how can we not talk about this? Our boys in Ingested, Where Only Gods May Tread, also Unique Leader Records. Exactly, August 14th.
Song of the year.
It's the song of the year because we listened to it 10,000 times at the cottage because Chris, our guitarist, Chris Donaldson, produced the record, and we always get the sneak peeks of whatever he's working on. So that track with Kirk, just killer. And the video is really cool too.
Yeah.
We have other friends that dropped some stuff.
Aborted.
Yes, that's true. Holy shit.
I just
EP.
Thought about it because I totally forgot. The EP was February or something? Maybe March? It was at the moment we were at the chalet.
Holy shit, yeah. So shout
before
out to
the
that,
pandemic.
That. Yeah,
shout
it was too short.
Then.
It was one of those too short, that's why.
Yeah.
Black Crown Initiate dropped Violent Portraits of Doomed Escape via Century Media on August 7th. And I was lucky enough, Andy Thomas had sent me this record right at the beginning of the pandemic, so I was listening to it a lot. It's their best record. It's the most balanced one. Before, they would just switch back and forth between the cleans and the heavy.
Clean and
I
the
felt
brutal.
I felt it was a bit, you know, I was a fan, but I felt it was a bit too generic. This one, they've really found a way to meld it together perfectly. Loved that record.
Dude, the last one I have on my list, check it out. Eminem.
Really? Oh, shit.
Fuck yeah, man. Eminem put out an album, like, he never promote the album or talk about it whatsoever. He dropped it. And it was on my... I was on my way back from NAMM in January, and he just dropped the album, so I was at the airport, like, yeah, check it out. And honestly... I really enjoyed it, man. Like, it's... Sometimes it's cool to just listen to something different. I'm not a big hip-hop guy, but this is a good album. I really enjoyed it. And the song Godzilla might be the craziest hip-hop song. Mainstream hip-hop song, because I don't know enough hip-hop to say that. I don't want people to, like, criticize me. You don't know shit about hip-hop. I know, I don't know shit. But Godzilla
but like
by
it.
Eminem is insane. And the the music, the beats is really, really good. It's musical. The songwriting is there. It's not just like a guy who rap on the loop. No, there's music. Yeah. It's almost, I don't know if Eminem have a band or... But there's a lot of like work behind the music. So I appreciate that a lot. Yeah,
I have two thrash albums that I want to shout out. I'm not the biggest thrash fan.
Me too, I have one, actually.
Of course, The Masters dropped an album this year, and that's Testament, of course. Titans of Creation came out via Nuclear Blast on April 3rd. It's a great record.
It's one of my favorite with that lineup. Dude, I'm a bass player, okay? And Steve DiGiorgio, for me, is...
He's a master.
I have to check it out. I think I listened to everything he did. And when he... The first time... Maybe not the first time, but the album The Gathering in 2000, I remember I was like, oh, shit, man, I need to buy this album. And I was like, there's not enough bass. Hmm. So when he came back in 2015, 16, they put out Brotherhood of the Snake. And same thing. I was like, it's good there. I want more. I need more from that lineup. They have Gene Oglin, Stevie Giorgio on their rhythm
section. It's like a super group rhythm section. But
with Titans of Creation, it's there. The songwriting, everything. Every member of the band shine on this record. On this record. And the song Dream Deceiver is so catchy, man. I think that album was meant to be played in an arena because...
It probably would have happened had it not been for what
I think that was supposed to be the plan, you know?
Well, hopefully that it carries over once shows come back. The second one is the thrash album that I didn't know I needed in my life. I would have never, ever, ever imagined, and you motherfucker, you played with them. And I was so damn jealous. I was like, don't accept a beer from me because I might put poison in it.
Yeah. Oh, course, shit. I forgot about that.
Mr. Bungle, yeah. The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny came out October 30th. Ipecac Recordings. It, you know, and I'm a huge, huge Mr. Bungle fan. Mm-hmm. And this, I was super pissed when I heard that they were releasing this and not just a new record.
Yeah, me too.
Because I want, you know, everyone wants that California Part 2 or a new
Disco Volante.
They went back and did something completely different, and I had zero expectations of liking it, and I love it. I love it. It's the best thrash record of the year, I think.
I didn't spend enough time to I haven't listened to the album, like, twice. I listened to it, like, in the background while doing other things. Like, yeah, it's okay, but it's not Mr. Bungle. When I'm listening to Bungle, I want, like, the self-titled album, like Carousel, Squeeze Me, Macaroni, stuff like that. And, dude, man, when the day of the show, because Cattle Decap, we opened the show in L.A.
So jealous.
I was in the hotel room with Dave, and both of us woke up, took our phones, like, in complete silence. And then it's almost like we look at each other and sometimes say, have you read that? Dude, Bungle, they don't play any song. They play their fucking demo with the Exploited cover song. Are you kidding me? We were so pissed off. Like, this is bullshit. Fuck that. The show was totally fun, though. Like, I changed my mind the night of the show, like, because I was side stage next to Scotty and man, I was like, oh shit. I don't know if the energy in the place was, dude, it was a magical night. Mr. Bungle in LA, like.
And when I had a chat with Trey, he was saying that they were totally planning on doing other gigs around the globe, so.
Oh, yeah, that for sure, sucks. For sure. I think they tried. Like, they just, those shows. We're just like a test. Man, because it was a massive success, man. Massive.
Okay, yeah.
And we played the second night in LA. Yeah. Yeah. We played the second night in LA, and the bass player from Suicidal Tendencies was there, and I was hanging with him, and he told me, dude, last night the Metallica guys were here.
Like, wow.
What? But, dude, Jerry Cantrell was there when I played. He was side stage watching us. Dude, I feel like a total idiot. I did something I should have never done. I went to him like a fanboy. Like, oh. Because it's Jerry Cantrell. I couldn't help myself.
How did he handle you?
Well.
Was it Ollie or was it Elo?
In between. I'm not shy anymore, so... I'm gonna go talk to you, but I wasn't like, hey, what's up?
You didn't jump on him.
No. Oh,
Elo would have jumped on him.
Yeah, you.
That's what
call
I
call a rooster, motherfucker.
I have a few more. I don't want to forget anybody. I have two extreme ones. I'll save the one that I prefer more for last. We got to give a mention to Black Dahlia Murder for Vernimus. Hell yes.
This is my last beer tonight. The Voivod Offenstark. The Lost Machine.
It's a really cool brew. It's a lager, a pilsner that they brewed by
they heat up these rocks in a fire, and then they add it to the mash, and it gives this like caramel mineral feel to the brew. It's really interesting, and of course Voivod's always very interesting and out of the box.
Yeah.
So they need a brew just like that. I really enjoyed that brew. So Vernimus, Black Dahlia Murder, Metal Blade Records, April 17th, it dropped. Killer record. I feel like they had big shoes to fill because the last record was just so damn good. It was basically their Slaughter of the Soul.
Exactly.
This one was close, but it didn't hit the mark as much for me personally.
Same
but
here.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, what was the one before? Nightbringers. I think that Nightbringer. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that was the new Nocturnal.
Because yeah, exactly.
Nocturnal is like the ultimate classic from that Black Dahlia, and I feel like Nightbringer was like the continuation.
I'm sure that there's more and that I've forgotten some. Ooh, I have two. I have three. Okay, so we have of course, Imperial Triumphant. Oh. Alphaville came out via Century Media July 31st. This record was produced by Trey from Mr. Bungle. Great record, super avant-garde metal. I really, really think that they're a band to watch in the future. I think that they're a band that, you know, Behemoth wouldn't have chosen them to open that live stream show if they didn't have something special going on, and I really think they do. It's disturbing. It's very disturbing music, and I like it. And I like the visual aspect. I like how they've evolved it over the years, and they started simple, and it just got more and more complex in a way that they can handle. And they're a band to watch, and the Alphaville is a perfect display of that. I have, of course, an EP I'd like to give a shout out to. This is actually an independent band, which I think is very cool, called Bather. The EP is called Phantom Guilt. That dropped on November 27th. That's a newish sort of thing that I really liked. Just heavy ass, slow, sludgy riffs, and then the occasional blast beat riff. Excellent vocals. I have an episode coming up with them in the next few weeks, so I'm excited to get a chat with their vocalist and see exactly where this album EP came from and why it wasn't a goddamn album. We have another new release that just came out called I'm going to massacre this name, called Akhlys, AKHLYS, called Melino.
Yeah, is called it the Melino. One you sent me the...
Okay.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's killer. It came out via Debbie Moore Morty Productions on December 14th. Excellent guitar work. Just phenomenal.
What about Akurian?
Oh, shit. We didn't even talk about Akurian. An excellent, excellent, excellent release this year. It's true, but how many years in the making, you know? Mike DeSalvo on vocals.
At least 8 years. And you know what's funny? We took our time to produce this album, and we wanted like a strong release. Everything was planned perfectly, but the pandemic happened, and then we signed to Redefining Darkness Records, and we already had like a release date, which was April 19th. So like, wow, we took 8 years to craft this album, to release it at the beginning of a pandemic. What a waste. At least,
being a band that's not going to tour, it's not the
no, but
the biggest issue.
But not only that, but I feel like especially in the beginning of pandemic, so March, April, May, June, I would say the first 4 months,
people are just panicking.
Exactly, and people didn't care about music that much. So I feel
it's true.
Like
I think you're right. I think people appreciate music more.
I feel like there's album that should have been huge. Black Dahlia Murder should have been a massive release. Testament, Sepultura,
Akurian. It's true. Quadra.
No, but think about it. And then Enslave postponed. 8Breed postponed the release of their album for later. I think in the fall.
Yeah, Hatebreed's just dropped late November, and that's another
banger.
And
then there's no tour, it was better to release music later in this year, because I feel like people, I think now they pay attention maybe more than that last spring.
what the virus is, and the fear is a little bit less, although people are still afraid and should be. Not afraid, but careful.
Exactly.
And people have turned to music as a cathartic experience to cleanse those negative thoughts.
And also it was too much at a time, like the pandemic, everything that was going on in the U.S. with Trump and stuff. So it was a lot of...
Finances, the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, totally. So, man, I understand why there's a lot of album that people never heard of. It's because it's too much. There's no way you can listen to everything, and it's a shame because I feel like Black Dahlia, Testament, I feel like Testament, they were supposed, like I said, to start touring Arena or something like that.
Crazy.
It sucks. This year sucks. It's the worst.
But we were lucky, and look, as we were still talking, I still have bands to talk about. Just great stuff. And there is one human on the earth that can listen to all the music, and his name is Jerry Monk, the metal architect for Vox and Hops. He creates a playlist for me every week called the Brutal Awakenings playlist, and he drops all of the new music that dropped that week that is worth being put into a playlist, and you guys should check that out because the metal architect rocks. I have, I think, one more that I want to talk about, and it was so hard for me two more, sorry. I'm going to go with the extreme one and finish with the more anthemy one, and I love this last one. But
I'm gonna finish with my songs of the year. But yeah, go
perfect,
ahead.
Perfect. I got Anal Nathrak.
Oh yeah,
dropped Endarkenment just via Metal Blade, October 2nd. I think it's their best record.
The video. Have you seen the video?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit! With just the
videos
and stuff.
So disturbing.
Great. So great.
And just killer. Album that I feel like they've really mastered. You know, Mick works and produces a lot of more poppier stuff, and I feel like some of that has bled into the songwriting of the extremity of Anal Nathrak. It's just killer album. The vocals are insane as usual. The cleans are even more epic. I love it. And another band that I would just love to tour with. I think a Cryptopsy and Anal Nathrak tour would crush, and I would.
I don't
love
think they tour
to do
though. I think they do like
festival experience,
festival like
Pig Destroyer esque.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
They do play a show because I played with them in 2012.
We played with them recently. You weren't there with Dom, but when we did the Netherlands Death Fest.
Oh yeah.
And of course we have to mention Beneath the Massacre, Extreme Montreal.
Can't believe I
Extreme.
Forgot.
So fucking fast, so fucking brutal. The drummer they had was just a killer. What's his name?
Anthony Barron.
I think he also played the drums on the Shadow of Intent last year. Just killer. Yeah, killer drummer. I'm so happy they're back. I've been a fan for years. I toured with Cryptopsy with them.
They were guys, they're the best.
Yeah. They're in shape. I love it. And just brutal as fuck. And my last thing that I'm going to talk about, I've talked about a lot of things. I feel like I covered everything, is a Canadian band that just killed it. Their album is amazing. It should have been in my top five because I listened to it that much. Unleash the Archers, Abyss, dropped via Napalm Records August 21st. What an album. It's just so catchy. Britney kills it on this record. Just
yeah. Remember we played with them in Armstrong Festival.
Yes, I remember 100%, and that's, they were super fun. This is just the perfect record for them. The it's a continuation of the storyline from the previous record. She's very creative. The vocals are just insane. She's probably one of the best front woman, whatever, in the game today. She is a murderer. Such a good vocalist. I love this record, and if it was my top 10, I would have squeezed it in for sure.
Oh, sick. I don't have any albums, but I have the song of the year.
Memories.
Not even. Dude, Song of the Year was from... it's not on any album. It's from the Slay at Home, Metal Injections, Live Streams.
I know what you're going to say.
Luke Lemay, David Davidson, Liam Wilson from Dillinger Escape Plan, and Elliot Hoffman. Car Bomb.
Produced by? produced by
Memory.
Crystal Olsen. What a song, yes, man. Dude, I told Luke, we need more of that. It was so brilliant.
I told Dave the same thing when I interviewed him.
Brilliant. Like, wow. Like, I'm speechless. I was speechless because Chris did the mix and produced the whole thing. He sent me a sneak peek, like, hey, what did you get?
As he does.
And I told him, dude, that's massive. Like, that's the best shit I've heard in years.
Yeah, Dave was freaking out. Dave loves Luc Lemay.
And I guess. The
whole time, just working with him, he was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And Luc is such a focused person that when he's not touring or working on music, he doesn't even play guitar.
No.
From what Dave told me, he sort of brought him out of riff retirement.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Which is amazing. Yeah. So, and Liam's amazing, of course.
So that's one of the song of the year for me, after Ingested, Memories. And Body Count, Carnivore.
Oh shit, we didn't even talk about Body Count. What
and number one, too. 6 Feet Under, Zodiac. Song of the fucking century. Dude, come on, it's the best. I know a lot of people, they love to hate. We're still talking about it 6 months later, and I wanna see half her. It's the best song, come on.
Oh shit. Oh,
I had so much fun listening to him.
He needs some people in his circle that can tell him no. That's all he needs. Whoever, he has way too many yes men in his circle. That's
he's surrounded by yes men. That's for sure.
For his own good, he needs to reevaluate that. That's all I'll say on that. Ollie, thank you so much. Everyone listening, please let us know if we missed any. I feel like we were rather thorough, but I'm sure we forgot some. Always a pleasure to hang out with you, Mr. Ollie Pinal.
Yes.
I'm stoked to see you in real life and to finish this goddamn Cryptopsy record.
Can't wait.
We can start doing some stuff. And, you know, hopefully the pandemic will go away and we can all start banging our heads together again.
Happy holiday, I guess.
Happy New Year, because this is dropping on January 1st.
Oh, okay.
Cheers.
So Happy New Year's, man.
Cheers.
And everyone, cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. It is always such a blast to hang out with Ollie. It is just something that has really, really gotten to me due to the pandemic, just not being able to hang out with my brothers as much as I would love to. We do it like this via Zoom, but it's not the same, and you know what I mean. But this was a pleasure. We hung out for quite a bit after this. It was really, really nice just to get silly together, just like we would if we were out on the road after a gig. It was fun, and if you're listening to Ollie, I love you, and I really, really appreciate you doing this with me, and I hope that it becomes a tradition. We've done it 2 years in a row. I'd like to keep doing. If you guys enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, please subscribe to it on the podcast platform of your choice. But not only that, take the time to rate it and write a review, because if you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops podcast. Vox and Hops is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I will be back next week with 2 episodes, one dropping on Tuesday and then another on Friday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.